Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon all, and welcome to Radio Show 74, Social Enterprise Gains to Strengthen Culture and in Employee Engagement. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm a social media HR consultant working with the Engage Success movement, leading on digital and social media. The Engage Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there's a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. And we spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice. We're widely supported across the UK, involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, engageforsuccess.org, you can use the orange button in the top right to join in and jump onto our mailing list. And if you tweet, then please share your thoughts using our hashtag, which is #E4S, and that's with the number 4. And then also please come and join us on our LinkedIn groups. If you go to the website on the right-hand side, there's a section that says Connect with Us, and it will take you through on the LinkedIn icon to a page which tells you about all the different LinkedIn groups that we have running at the moment. And if you enjoy our shows, please can you take the time to go to our iTunes profile and give us a rating. I suppose you could do that too even if you don't enjoy them, but hopefully you'll give us a good rating. So today I'm interviewing Michael Down from Wellview. I did think actually we'd been chatting before the call and I didn't check to see how you pronounce his name, so we'll ask him that in a minute. His summary on LinkedIn describes him as a serial entrepreneurial product innovator and inspirational leader with a passion for leading teams and organizations through times of growth or turnaround and disrupting current business practice. So, Michael, firstly, thank you for stepping in at short notice for the show. We're, as I was just telling you, now booked up until October, so you've started a flood of bookings. Perhaps you could start firstly by saying hello and then by telling us a bit more about yourself and your experience.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me here. So rightly, as you read from my profile, I have a background as a serial entrepreneur. I've had the privilege to have been within the internet sector, the internet industry, for the last 20 years, where I've founded and seen companies grow. And I've also worked as a corporate advisor to companies through a management consultancy called Fluid Minds that we started in the late 90s, and as an independent corporate advisor, mostly focusing on corporate culture and business strategy and leadership.
Excellent. I just had to shut my window. It was seagulls and the local army firing ranges. So I apologise if I was making a noise. So great to have you on the show. And did I pronounce your surname correctly?
It's perfect. Michael Down.
And so tell us a bit more about what you do now. So obviously you've been involved, as you say, in lots of different things and in the sort of tech side of things. What's your current business? What's Wellview about?
Wellview is a company that essentially provides an app or tool, which we call a social enterprise tool, which uses social media and game mechanics to improve organizational performance. We started this project about 2 years ago, and we've been out in the market now for quite a few months, where the aim of the app is to help large organizations, mostly large organizations, find a more scalable way of making their organizations and the individuals perform better.
And so how does it work? Because when we were first talking, we talked about a social enterprise sort of game, and you know, I had in my head what that might look like from sort of things that I read and so on. And then obviously, as we got further into the conversation, you explained actually how the game works, and it just sounds so simple and yet really effective and quite exciting. So tell us more about how that works within an organization.
Yeah. All right. Well, we started looking at that because, as a consultant, as a corporate advisor, we have been looking at transformation processes within organizations in a number of cases. But when we look at organizational change, it's all about individual change at the start. So we started looking at how can we use all the tools and techniques that are used in the best of applications for within an organization and within corporations when it comes to behavioral change and when it comes to transformation. And then we looked into many different fields. We looked at apps that make you healthier, but we saw that many of those only affected a very small fraction of the population, those who are very committed to actually change. So we sat down and said we need to do something that works with everyone in an organization. And the way that we have done it in Wellview, that it's an app which asks you to do small missions. We call them baby step missions. And these are easy missions that you're set up to do, that you choose to do. And when you do these, you take a picture of doing them as your proof. And this picture is then shared within the company in a kind of a social network or an image feed. And what it does is that it gets you doing things that you would normally not do, but you know you should do. And all the images that are being fed into the organization provides a very positive view of the company, where you see people doing things that they achieve, and you see them in a more personal and perhaps non-professional way. So it enlightens the whole company, and it brings it alive, and it brings it personal and very positive.
I really like the sound of it as you've described it, and I think we're sort of used to social media and using, or lots of us, you know, using it to share information. What I particularly like with this is the fact that you're giving people the ideas of those, what did you call them, baby step missions, rather than just having it open to, you know, just do whatever you want sort of thing. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, there is a whole, we don't have time for all of this, but we wanted to provide a different model for changing behavior. And if you look to someone trying to get something done in a different way, it's quite a complicated process where most models get you to design a goal and you need to stick to that goal and find techniques to reach that. And that's not really how we work all the time. We're quite lazy. So we're trying to go through the back door, and these baby step missions, they're not taking you to the top of Everest. They're not making you do a marathon. But it gets you going on things that are good for you, either in the way that you become more professional at work, you stand up more for your colleagues, or you're living a more healthy lifestyle. So it's really trying to sneak a certain behavior into people's lives and what they do at work, and at the same time spicing it up with components and making it fun and social in a way.
So give us some examples of what these missions would be.
We have, in Wellview, when a company signs up to it, we supply a battery of missions, a library of missions, that goes into sectors of what we call personal efficiency. And that could be, for example, hated and favorite one is clean up your desk or set your priorities. Very much these things that we need to do all the time. Other sectors are more related to wellness and health. So have a salad for lunch or take a walk to your job. Other ones are more focused on collaboration, so how you can support your colleagues more and do more for them. And then we have aspects on innovation, on sustainability, and all kinds of things that are general for a company. But then what a company normally does is that it decides to design their own missions for their own specific purpose, which may have to deal with a new values program that they're rolling out, or a focus on innovation or customer orientation, etc.
Well, one of the ones you shared before was about perhaps going to have lunch with somebody from a different department, which I thought was an interesting one as far as you say collaboration and sort of getting on with people and I guess getting outside of your sort of department silo, meeting other people. So
yeah, we had that one
you
I told you about.
Sorry, say again?
Sorry.
So you talked about sort of spicing things up, and I guess that's the sort of gamification aspect of it. Is it sort of competitive, or are there scores or things, or is it more about the visual sharing of the images?
Well, in our case, with Wellview, it's actually both. So when we talk about corporate games, which is something that makes some people very enthusiastic, some people more frown upon it. We have had, since we're actually targeting an enterprise or a corporate setting, we've had to look at different kinds of motivators for different people. And some people who are serious gamers, they can do everything to win and everything to get points. But in a wider organization, the motivation is different within different people, as much as you have different personalities or different learning styles. So if we just went for points, we would probably get all the salespeople and other competitive people playing the game. But using the more social aspects of it makes it more democratic. So some people are in it for the points and to get better than their employees, but the greater parts are in it for the curiosity of seeing what other people are doing or for the ability to show the rest of the organization who you are and what you do. So a little bit to not show off, but at least make yourself more visible to other people. So we combine the very competitive aspect with the sharing as a more community feeling, as a different kind of motivator.
Yeah. So some people would sort of straight away say they weren't going to talk to you or sort of think about the idea of using social games within the organisation. I guess there's certain sort of characteristics of people who would be interested in finding out more and people who, you know, wouldn't at all. So obviously you're talking about the fun aspect, but then how you sort of tie that into the company. So how do different companies react to the social tools and the game characteristic?
They react in all different kinds of ways. And I think obviously we're trying to sell our games, so we're trying to tune into which companies are more into this or not. But what we can say is that it seems to be quite aligned with the companies who are open and innovative. The companies that we meet that are most interested in what social games or corporate games could do are those ones where HR has a quite advanced function. It's not seen as a payroll. You have a quite strong HR department, and you most likely find the HR department speaking to communications and working together on employee branding. So that would be one thing where we can immediately say there's a more openness to those things. I think also that with respect to if games are just for fun, the how people react to the fun factor is quite different. Some companies see the fun factor as a booster to achieve certain objectives, where I think that some other companies more feel threatened by that same fun factor as a way of losing control over the whole of routines and the process going forward.
Yeah.
And then I think it's quite easy to identify which companies may be lesser interested in these situations. We see reaction. Quite often we ask a question what they think about Facebook, and if the company reacts very negatively to Facebook with strong policies, then we probably think that this is not a company where we would be successful at. Another thing is that
litmus test.
Yep.
Sorry, carry on.
But in general, I think that what is going on right now is companies are seeing the need to deal with the workplace that we have, where people are working from distance, they're working at clients, or they're working from home, but you still need to keep the organization alive and intact, and you still need to engage the people, which don't often put their come into the office on a regular basis, and then you need to look for new tools how to keep everyone engaged and how to keep them as a part of the company.
Yeah, it does sound like a really, as I said, quite simple but really effective way of keeping people, well, not only sort of communicating with each other but actually finding out more about each other in the first place. I mean, perhaps more than they would know ordinarily even working in the same office. So how do you ensure that the social games are aligned with corporate objectives, you know, specifically with your particular product, but, you know, just generally, how should organizations be approaching social games from a corporate perspective?
to start with, social games is like any other activity that you do in an organization, and you need to have an objective for that. Whether it is a game or a social game or a corporate game or it's another transformation process, the objectives need to be outlined and they need to be defined. So when we approach a company or when we engage with a company, the outcomes, the objective and the outcome is very clearly defined. And if we cannot reach those, then the game is not working. And if we reach those, it is. So I think the definition of what is to be achieved is the most important thing. And then, obviously, if you define an objective, the game has to be adopted to that. So we are of, it's my view that any game that you put into a corporate setting has to be able to be customized for that for that particular company and for the particular situation that they're in. So in our case, it means that we produce, or with a client or their consultants, we do a battery of custom missions that are completely aligned with the objectives of that company. So that means that we're just a tool of implementing what the company is already trying to get in place.
Okay. And so what examples might there be? I mean, we've talked about some example missions that we could sort of see as being more generic that lots of companies would use. Can you share with us any specific examples that might have been used
Absolutely. We have, if you take a situation where you have a post-merger situation where a company has acquired another company and they want to bring the two together, then that could be customized very specifically for doing missions for the sales departments to work more in collaboration, where it could happen to seek out new people, going on luncheons with different people, trading customers, recommending customers, making certain kinds of cold calls, etc. All from all these small missions like that. In another scenario, we had a company who hired a lot of young people at the same time, so they wanted to use it as an onboarding process. And the missions in that case was very much to hook up people with existing people in the organization. So it could be seek up someone from the payroll department. It could seek up the innovation department. It could be find a mentor, and very specific things. We had another company who wanted to create a new way of work as they were moving to an open landscape instead of being in closed offices. So they prepared together with us a whole battery of missions of how they should behave in an open landscape, where example missions could be on how they should treat with their papers, the printed papers, where they should keep their personal possessions, how they should treat privacy and display privacy when they were working in this open landscape. So all kinds of small, as you said, what we call baby step missions that gets you into a certain way of behaving, a certain way of working, that you can flag up and say, hey, I did this. This was really nice. And other people can see that I'm not alone in trying to get to do these things. All kinds of people are doing the same things, and it becomes easier and more fun to adopt a new way of working.
Yeah, it strikes me that it would be good for some of the sort of more mundane things that you need to sort of teach people or get people to do, that in the old days we might have, you know, sat them in a boring old training room and tried to get them to take action as a result, or I don't know, sent a memo.
It's very much like that. Someone said you're like the game, the thing that makes us do the things that we don't want to do. And in a way, it is trying to make it. We have, I think, I don't know if I mentioned already, but there's this clean your desk, or for some smaller offices where they need to help clean up the kitchen, all boring stuff, but it becomes a part of the game and people are starting doing it and seeing it in a different light. But then it could also be
used.
Can
we need one of those for home life for seven-year-olds? That would work really well.
I don't know.
So is it just for the less senior people in the organization?
Absolutely not. As as with my background of both running and advising companies, this is it's all fun, but it's in the end it will be judged by how well it does for an organization. And when you do organizational change, it's quite hard to just focus on one age group or something like that. So it has to work for everyone. Of course, it does work very well for younger people and the new generation. But the sweet spot, it seems, of users that we have is actually women in the ages of 30 to 45 who are the most active players or users of our app. So I don't think that is too surprising, because we see the same kind of user patterns in many other games and recreational games. But we have designed the tool to be so simple that anyone can use it. It's just about choosing a mission, taking a picture, and posting that picture. And the use of pictures and images, we find, is one of the most democratic ways of sharing information. It's even easier than writing, which for some people is quite a big step.
I guess in this day and age of smartphones and so on, it's most people can take pictures and do something with them. I guess is that part of the questioning? You talk about, you know, if a company's attitude isn't good towards Facebook, that it might not work. In some ways, if you've got a whole workforce who aren't using smartphones, that in itself would be a barrier to begin. I mean, do companies get around that in some way?
Well, I think so, but that's also it's a bit of a fallacy that today, if a company says, well, you know, it's not for us because it's only the top management who have been issued smartphones, so we cannot use this thing. And then you just ask, well, how many of your people are actually carrying a smartphone in their pocket? And the answer is, of course, everyone, because everyone brings their own device. So I think over the last 2 years that has really changed. So all kinds of companies that provide apps to companies that rely on this bring your own thing. And the smartphone penetration is... In most countries and the Western European countries, it's not so much of a factor. It's a bigger factor of how the company allows their employees to use those apps running on their smartphones, where some are more open to it and some are more restrictive.
Yeah. So how can the social enterprise games be used to strengthen employee engagement? If we think about the four enablers that we talk about as sort of generally existing in the organisations with strong employee engagement, how do they each sort of work when we're thinking in terms of the gaming? So the first one being strategic narrative, so having a strong strategic narrative that is communicated well within the organisation, so people know, you know, where it's been, where it is now, and where it's going.
Well, I cannot speak for all social games, but if we're trying to translate it into what we're trying to do, obviously the whole thing that we're trying to do is to strengthen engagement or increase engagement. The whole app is about that. We have a whole number of missions that are trying to visualize the company's even history and going on. So you try to visualize what the company is, and we feel that is definitely an important part. We want the people within the company to understand what company they're in and to see it in different ways. Mm-hmm. Now, using images is really cool because it shows it differently than if you just produce it on a document on the internet, and everyone can put their own touch to it. So it becomes more real in a way. It's difficult to fake.
Yes, and you're creating the narrative as you go along with those pictures, as you say. So I think from a point of view of a new employee coming into an organisation and having access to that imagery would be a really quick way of really getting to know how it's done around here, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, true.
And
we've had companies actually want to use this in their recruitment process and say, this is us. This is who we are.
Yeah,
we cannot fake it. Do you like it? Become a part of it. And if you feel that it's not you, then there's probably not an alignment between your values and the company's values.
Yeah. So what about the second enabler around engaging managers? How does that fit with the social games or with yours particularly?
I don't think that we can pride ourselves too much with that because it's very much up to the company. If the company can make their managers participate in the game, obviously that is that's a great thing, and that's really decisive for the outcome of how effective the game is. So if the managers mm-hmm. participate, it's so much better than if they don't. But our game does not require that, so it's more up to the company itself. But it's a great platform for anyone who wants to be more visible in a more informal way. So it could be seen as a tool for managers if they wanted it.
Yeah, yeah. So from an employee point of view, it will have a life of its own potentially. And if the managers choose not to engage, then they won't be on it. So as you say, it's very much up to them and the organisation. But if they get their heads around it and really do participate, I can see it being a really effective route for them if they're doing it in the right way. So what about from an employee voice point of view? It strikes me as being really, really powerful for that.
Well, that's the whole idea. I've been working with, through all my companies, we've always had a strong focus on grassroots participation or even grassroots leadership, and this is just an interpretation of that. All the people's images or comments or likes or praises, everything becomes a part of what is pronounced by the employees. So it's a very powerful channel from everyone in the company to form the image of that company.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last one, integrity. I think this is a really well, I was saying to you when we were preparing that quite often when we get to the sort of integrity, then it's just the sort of that's how it is. You know, you there's no sort of say-do gap between what you say on the wall, all the values and stuff, and what happens in real life. But, you know, we don't often have a great sort of demonstration of that when we're talking to people about the different things that people are doing. It's just there or it isn't. But this, to me, really sort of can help to demonstrate that within an organisation. You described it as walking the talk when we spoke. Can you tell us more about
that? Walking the talk is something that I've used for myself and for everyone else for the last 20 years. And I think it's so crucial for looking at great companies. They do walk the talk. So this whole app has been created with that in mind. And obviously, using pictures for everything that we do means that it's very... very much harder to not walk the talk, and giving people the chance to speak up for the things that are good in the company. And we have specifically focused on the positive side. So, what is being shared are not problems. It is what's working. It's good things happening, and being able to show how good the company looks like and what people are doing aligned with company objectives in a fun way. It really creates a walk-the-talk message. It's quite fantastic looking at the companies using this. I told you before that some of them I want to start working for because it looks so fun, it looks so cool, it looks so real. And it could be missions of, we have one mission, so show the best thing working with our company. And there's a whole multitude of things coming up with that, everything from the coffee machine to certain people that they take a picture of, to other things that they think are working really well in the company. And it really visualizes what the company is there for. And it's really cool.
And I hadn't really thought about, as you said, that it's focusing on the positive because you're guiding people to take an image to demonstrate sort of the answer to the question, then in the main it is going to be positive because you're not giving an opportunity for the negative in some ways. And that's not... it's not in a negative, you know, in a bad way. It's just that the whole thing's built around the positive, isn't it? So I think that sounds, you know, really effective from that point of view. Sometimes people worry about, you know, social networks, that they'll just be used as an opportunity to moan about things. I don't believe that's true, and, you know, obviously it happens, but, you know, I think there's a much bigger picture to it. But I guess yours is sort of predicated on that not being part of the plan anyway, sort of thing, which...
I think we're a bit more stable than the traditional social networks because it's really contained within the company. There's no sharing outside of the company borders. And then whilst all the missions are orchestrated towards a more positive way, even the more fearing companies are seeing that it can actually work for them.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Excellent. Well, thank you. As we predicted, it's gone very quickly, and we're just about to finish the show for the live listeners. So thank you so much for joining me today, Michael. It's been really, really helpful. And just to let everybody know, next week on show 75, we'll have Rob Bridges from Boots, who's actually the Engaged Success Communications Manager, on for comment with us. And he's going to be interviewed by Kathy Brown, our exec director. And they'll be talking about the comments with Engaged Success, how you can get involved, and also how to keep in touch with what's happening within the movement, as Rob's responsible for the comms. So look forward to that next week. So thank you, everybody, and see you again soon, or speak to you soon.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.